Welcome to
Men's Book Club.
Men's Book Club.
It was low, but I liked it.
It was supposed to be like this mystic.
Oh, okay.
Get it?
I do get it.
Mystic River. Dennis, now you're going to tell me how to pronounce this guy's last name or what? Lane?
Lehan?
You think the H is silent and it's Lane?
Oh, it could be.
Yeah? That sounds like a little bit more like...
Oh, it could be.
Dennis Lane.
Right. Laney. Let's go with that.
Hey, Dennis. Okay.
Right in. Right in. Now.
He has so many books out there. We're so embarrassing, by the way. He's a New York Times...
We ruined his name.
He's a New York Times bestseller. He wrote a bunch of books.
We fucked it up.
Bunch of movies. I'm going to say Lane. Because Lehan sounds, I don't know, not right. Lane. Dennis.
Okay.
Dennis. Lane. His name is Dennis.
Yeah, just okay. Dennis.
We're doing Mystic River. This was a recommendation by you.
Yeah, it was.
You gave me 560 pages to read, and I don't mind I don't mind big books. I was like, is this going to be shit? And I gotta be honest with you.
It is.
It is not shit.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I really liked it. I really, really liked it. I mean, way more than I thought I would. How about this? I thought, what's the best case scenario for this book?
Mm.
And it beat it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was really good.
Good star rating here.
Really good. Let's lay the groundwork with the plot here. So this book is written in 2001, I think. Published in 2001. And it tells a story of... It starts off in the 1970s and tells the story of these three kids, Jimmy, Sean, and Dave. And they're hanging out in the street, being kids. I think they're like 10 or 11 years old. They're all in Boston. I think Sean, if I remember that correctly, Sean was the one that was a little bit wealthier. He lived in a place called The Point, whereas Jimmy and Dave lived in the flats.
Yeah, they're
just two opposite sides of the neighborhoods. One is a little bit more upper class, and the other one is a little bit lower class. Both of them in Boston, in the Boston area. They're hanging out one day in the middle of the street. They get into a fight, and while they're fighting, this cop car pulls up, or a cop car lookalike comes up, and these two men come out, and they tell them to stop fighting, and they tell them to go home. And Dave ends up getting into the car with them so that they can quote unquote drop him off at home, because they want him to go back home because they were hanging out in The Point, and they were gonna take him back to the flats. And they end up not being cops, after all, and they kidnap poor old Dave. Dave Boyle.
Yeah, that's...
Poor sucker. He ends up getting kidnapped. Fast forward 4 days. Dave ends up returning.
Traumatically. Very traumatic.
Yeah, very, very... There is this ambiguity around why he came back, what happened to him, all of this stuff. You can almost assume that he was kidnapped and sort of held somewhere and he escaped and... unspeakable things happen to him, but obviously nobody discusses it. They throw this massive party for him, and the scene in the 1970s ends with Jimmy sitting on the sidewalk looking up at Dave in his apartment, and they're kind of looking at each other, but there's almost darkness behind them because they almost don't recognize each other anymore.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Now we get into the next part, which is the 2000. The year 2000 or 2001. This is modern day, and they've all grown up. Our boy Sean, well-off to do, right, becomes a cop. Jimmy, as you would expect somebody, as he was when he was a kid, he was sort of getting in trouble a lot, trying to steal things, stole Sean's baseball glove, all of that stuff. He ends up going in and out of jail, but now he's got his life together. Which that's what they all say.
Yeah. But does he own a convenience store?
He owns a convenience store. He has a daughter. He has a bunch of daughters, but he has one with his original wife who ended up passing away while he was in jail. Katie, which the story kind of centers around her. We'll get to her in a sec. Mm-hmm. And Dave, who ends up getting married to a woman named Celeste, and they have a daughter together. No, I'm sorry, a son, Michael, together. It's irrelevant. The kid doesn't fucking matter. Anyway. and that's basically the life in the year 2000. Dave comes in in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. covered in blood, and his wife helps him get cleaned up, and she basically asks him what happened, and he tells her a very fake story, and she can tell it's a very fake story about him getting mugged. She doesn't believe it, but she loves him, so she helps him cover up. She cleans him up. She cleans the drain where the blood went down. I mean, she goes above and beyond to help him. She's a very good wife. I don't know if it's a good wife if you're covering up a murder or not, but she's good to him. Let's just put it that way. I don't know if you're considered a good person, but she's a good partner to have.
Maybe it's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. While that's happening, that very same night, something happens to Katie, Jimmy's daughter, and they find her body the next morning. She's been shot, and she's been beaten by some blunt object in the park, and Sean is basically put as one of the lead detectives on this case.
Which is kind of crazy, because he's kind of knows them.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you grow up in the same town. Yeah. Hey, guys, expand, you know? I'm not even saying leave Massachusetts. I'm just saying leave the flats in the point. Yeah, so they end up kind of, their life sort of engulfs around together. And make more crazy than that is that Dave's wife is cousins
with
Jimmy's wife. So they're already connected. So they kind of see each other a little bit more. Sean is almost the outsider because he got his life together.
They just kind of grew apart. And that was,
right. That was, but now they're all kind of surrounded again. They're brought together by Katie's death.
And obviously, like, Dave is kind of different.
Yeah, so there is this thing about Dave where he keeps saying to himself mostly that since he came back from that car, which now we know he kind of got molested, he was never the same. And he's having these urges to do the same to somebody else. And it's not, he doesn't just come out and say it, but you can, it's sort of hidden in the text. It's sort of context. You could tell that there's something strange about him. He's almost not the same. And he keeps saying that the kid that left and got in that car isn't the same kid that came back.
Which is totally understandable.
Right.
I don't think you could be the same.
Right. After Katie's death, everybody's trying to figure out what happened. You know, Sean is doing his cop work. Jimmy kind of gets back into the bad life by being around his wife's family, who kind of are almost like mobsters. That's the best way I could explain it. The Savages, they call them. And they're basically not giving a shit about the law and trying to figure it out themselves. Like, who killed my daughter? And I'm going to go find her and kill them. And Dave, who realistically didn't kill Katie, but came home in the middle of the night at 3 a.m.
It looks suspicious.
And looks very suspicious. And he told a very fake story, and he's telling people lies about why his hand is swollen and why there's blood in his car. So his story's not adding up. His wife, who was a very good partner in the beginning, ends up telling Jimmy that she thinks her husband killed Katie. Based on no evidence at all, just based on the fact that his story doesn't add up, and she feels very guilty, and she is hoping that her husband didn't do it, but she's almost terrified.
Yeah.
So she kind of tells Jimmy. Jimmy finds this out. Obviously, she tells him, and Jimmy goes to confront Dave and ends up killing our boy Dave. He throws him in the Mystic River, where he has done this before to another guy.
This is go-to.
But after he kills Dave, we find who the true killers of Katie are. And it's Katie's boyfriend's younger brother, who you wouldn't expect because he's like 13 years old. And they're just a couple of kids playing with a gun in the streets. And they almost just do it because they can do it. You know, it's just really, there's no reason. So they shoot her and she gets shot, but she escapes. She hits them and then she runs off, and then they get scared that she's going to tell the police. So they follow her through the park and they beat her with a hockey stick, and she ends up dying. And throughout all of this, you know, nobody's obviously suspecting these little kids, and everybody thinks it's Dave who did it. Dave ends up obviously dying. Jimmy kills him and pushes him into the Mystic River, where bodies go to disappear. It's basically the Hudson.
Pretty much.
I'm sure there are a lot of bodies at the bottom of the Hudson.
Oh, I'm sure.
And he ends up killing Dave. And then he finds out who the real killers are. And now Jimmy has to make his peace with the fact that he killed an innocent person who was also his childhood friend. And he lost his daughter. And he originally killed another person who he still feels guilty about, because he ratted him out. And that's why Jimmy ended up going to prison. Sean is kind of feeling like, what a fucked up town this is, because
it is a fucked
up. You know, a 13-year-old killed a girl for no reason. And it kind of put the town on its toes, and everybody is now terrified of the town based on two 13-year-old kids who killed a girl, honestly, just because they were like, oh, I can. Yeah, it's a very, very weird, but also very realistic thing that would happen. And Dave, who's obviously dead and left behind a wife who can't really get over the fact that she might have been responsible for her husband's death, okay, because she prematurely told Jimmy that he killed.
Well, that's what kind of makes it like a tragic story.
Yeah. For him. Yeah. So the story ends with basically there that, you know, Sean kind of battles his own little relationship demons with his wife who left him, and they got back together. It's a kind of a side story. It's very small, so I won't really get too much into it. So he's back with her, and they're kind of watching the parade, almost the same parade that they watched 30 years ago. Mm. Jimmy is with his wife and his two remaining daughters, but in the back of his mind, he's trying to justify the killing of Dave. Dave all along did kill somebody. That's why he came in the middle of the night. That's why his clothes were. But he killed a child molester.
Yeah.
So Jimmy's justification is like, yeah, I killed Dave, but he killed someone. So like, you know, he's trying to justify it in his head.
And it makes so much sense that he would kill a child molester. Like if it was like happened to you and you saw something happen, like you would just lose it.
Yeah. And he also, I mean, again, Dave keeps saying throughout the book, to himself, to nobody in particular, that he feels those urges. And the moment that he killed that man, he felt those urges leave. He almost felt like he was back. He kept describing the other side of himself as the boy who was almost urging him to molest other kids. He's never done it. As far as we know, he's never done it. But once he killed a molester, he almost got rid of that original bad person. And now the original Dave, the one that was there before he got into that car as a kid, is back. So it's a very fucked up thing in his head. He probably should have been in therapy. But
oh, big time.
big time. But he killed a child molester. So he did kill somebody. And that's Jimmy's justification for, yeah, I killed Dave, but Dave didn't kill my daughter. But you know what? Dave killed someone. And he's not the law. Ironically enough, Jimmy killed him.
Yeah, like it doesn't.
He's not the law.
Yeah, well, he doesn't.
Yeah.
It's just like a guy that was in the
right way, right. He shouldn't have, he obviously should not have killed Dave, but in his head, you know, Dave is responsible somehow for something.
Did they even say it in the book? Because I remember the movie. It was like, it could have been any one of them that got in that car. Life could have been changed.
Right. Really. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they all play with that in their heads. You know, while they're chasing this lead where there's a point towards the end of the story where Jimmy and Sean and Sean's boss and Dave's wife and basically everybody in the book thinks that Dave did it because all the signs point to him.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it doesn't. It doesn't fully make sense though, because it's like
there are a little bit of inconsistencies. Yeah, in
why?
Like, there's no reason.
Yeah, if he's like cousins, the wife is cousins with Jimmy's wife, like he's gonna kill Jimmy's daughter. And it doesn't really make too much sense.
And he was seen at the same bar that Katie was in, but she left and then died while he was still technically there. So there's a little bit of inconsistencies. But everybody kind of overlooks them because his story is so odd.
I mean, it kind of ruins. It's kind of like real life where you're kind of like, the people are just so willing to put the blame. Well, got the guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got the guy.
It's an easy. It's an easy scapegoat.
It doesn't matter. Like, everybody thinks it's, I don't know, taken care of, and we move on.
Right. So that's basically the story. That's what happens. Dave is dead. Jimmy's justifying it in his head. Sean knows that Jimmy killed Dave, but obviously he can't prove it. And he says,
yeah, I think that was like pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's basically
do
what
they do that thing at the end. I distinctly remember this in the movie. They're like watching the parade, and Sean kind of
does the gun.
So it's almost like the same. It's pretty much like the movie. You got the book.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch the movie because I'm very interested to see how it is.
And I remember the movie more than the book because I don't remember when I read the book.
Clint Eastwood is amazing, so I'll watch it just because of Clint Eastwood. But there are a lot of things, I guess, outside of the plot that I loved about this book. And I think the main thing is, even though at least this version of the book is about 600 pages, this author could have added easily another 100 pages to talk about the actual kidnapping of Dave, like through Dave's eyes. He could have had him sit through therapy and
it's
added.
It's probably better that you don't know what happened to Dave.
Right. Like, I love that. Yeah, I agree.
Because you're like, okay, what? Even in the movie, they don't. It's very like, it happened, he comes back like 4 days, 5 days later, and people are happy, but you could tell he's off.
Right, right. You know, and I love the ambiguity of what happened to Dave, and you can tell he's suffering. You can tell like some people empathize with him, and I empathize with him, obviously, but there isn't a clear understanding of what happened. He doesn't even tell his wife what happened. He kind of just blurts it out to her at one point, but really doesn't tell her all the details. And even when... towards the end, when he's by the Mystic River and Jimmy's about to kill him, Jimmy asks Dave point blank, "Did you kill my daughter?" And Dave says no, and then he tells him, "So why is there blood?" And Dave could have said, "Oh, I killed the molester."
I just feel like he wasn't in his right head. It's almost like he's just so messed up.
Yeah, but he. Yeah, 100%. Like I said, he definitely needed therapy. But
it's amazing he didn't get it.
It's 2000, different time. I know we think 2000 is recent, but nobody was doing therapy in 2000.
That's true. Now everybody talks about it.
Yeah, now it's online.
BetterHelp?
It's a sponsor of the show. BetterHelp.com. No. Dave would rather have pretended to kill Jimmy's daughter than to say that he killed a molester because he has urges to molest somebody based on what happened to him. And to me, while that is an odd fucking ending to Dave's life, and that was what ended up getting him killed, and maybe I wouldn't have done that, I empathize so much with that guy who is in so much pain that he would rather... take the blame for a murder.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, and he's justifying it in his head as he's saying it. He's like, "I'll say I killed Katie, and what'll end up happening is they'll put me to jail, and they'll find the real killer, and I'll be out in a couple of months, and everybody will know that I didn't kill her, and that'll be the end of it. But if I tell people that I killed the molester because I was molested, now I'm the molested person," and he wants to shed that personality altogether.
Yeah, I think it's like he had the most tragic life. It's like nothing.
100%.
It's like he had one tragedy and another one happened, and it's not fair, but...
that's life. And also, like, if you look at it, I mean, this is the theme throughout the book. It's empathy. I feel for, as much as I don't want to, I feel for Jimmy. I mean, yeah, he had his shitty life and he went to jail, but his first wife died of skin cancer. His daughter grew up without him, and he doesn't want that to happen. He's trying to get his life together. He kills a person, he which isn't right, and he kills another person. He ends up not being the right person, and he almost, you could see like towards the end of the book, he's almost going to kill himself, but he doesn't want to leave his new wife and his kids, and Katie's, his daughter is dead. I mean, he also saw so much death. But I think what's very unique about this book or this story in general is it's, they tell you this all the time when you're a kid and you don't believe it. If you make the wrong decisions as a kid, you're almost bound to that life forever. And you don't believe it when you're a kid, but Jimmy was a thief when he was a young kid and he wanted to steal a car and take a joyride and stole Sean's baseball glove and he was a liar and he kind of was a shit talker and he grew up to be... The same person that you'd expect. And Sean was a good kid who grew up in a good household and his dad was there for him and he got straight A's and he didn't want to get in trouble and he ended up being a good guy, a cop. And you know, something fucked up happened to Dave when he was 11 years old, and he grew up to be a fucked up 30-year-old man. You know, it's just, it's wild that that is as realistic as life usually is.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard to get off of that. When you're a young kid and you're affected by something, you're most likely going to continuously be affected by something.
It's 100% true.
And one other thing that I think is not only could this author have added another 300 pages, and he didn't, and I love him for that, because it made the book so much better. He could have made this book about Dave. You know, it could have been like about the molestation and him trying to get revenge and maybe him trying to work through it together. He could have made this about Sean and Sean's wife leaving him, and, you know, she calls him every once in a while, but she doesn't say a word because she left him. And we could have made it about Jimmy and how Jimmy is like really hurting over his daughter. But he did such a good job at keeping it about three characters simultaneously and tying every event of their life together. I mean, it takes so much talent to do that. Where you, if you ask me, who is this book about? It has to be about three people. It can't be about one. And usually, like, other books are about, like, as much as Harry Potter is about 1,000 characters, it's about Harry Potter, obviously. As much as, you know, like, Stephen King's books are about a bunch of different characters, it's usually one character. You can't say that this book is about one character, because Jimmy affected Sean, and Sean affected Dave, and all their lives are so woven together.
Yeah, you had to outline this book like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
To make sure, like, everything.
Yeah, everything ties.
You could just start writing.
Yeah. And the fact that it's big, it's a bigger book, it helps it, because you don't, he doesn't go into so much details about their lives. He could have talked about what they did in their 20s and how they went to school or whatever, but he doesn't.
I feel like you don't need that.
He leaves all the fluff out and he gets down to the point. I think this was such a well done book. He did such a good job at giving you the most important points of every character's book, but still leaving enough mystery in the back of Dave's life that you sympathize with him more than anything else. And
I think far more than anybody, it's him, because he, if it's a tragedy, it's on, you know, it just it kind of sucks, because it's like, you feel bad for the other ones, but he got dealt a shitty hand, and then he got dealt another shitty hand, and everybody else survives.
But also Jimmy got, he grew up in a shitty household, and his dad wasn't as close to him, and he was stealing, and he wasn't being watched over, and now he grew up and he lost his wife to cancer, and he lost his daughter to a murder by 13-year-old kids. So yeah, he's a fucked up human being who should probably be in jail, but he also got a shitty life. And it's just that's sadly how life
is. I think, and that's like the crazy, you know, everybody is like, I grew up in a, you know, in the suburbs, and it's like, how many people really have shitty, your parents are usually pretty stable. Unless maybe you found drugs and stuff like that. You're probably, if you have stable family life, you're probably going to be a stable human being.
Yeah. And the lesson there is, take drugs if you want your life to be fun.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it is like a weird, like,
yeah, I constantly, especially when it comes to books in general, I constantly try to put myself in the position of the character and say, would I have acted the same way? And I can't see, because Jimmy did try to turn his life around. He did
get clean.
He owned a convenience store. He was hardworking. He was really about the family. But at the same time, like, when your daughter dies, you see red. You know, you're not going to be like a rational human being anymore.
No, because he never, because he wasn't, like, deep down, probably like that.
Rational. He was getting nightmares about killing this first person that he killed, Just Ray, because he ratted him out, so he killed him, and he was getting nightmares about him. So there was a part of him that was feeling remorse and regret. And it's not like Just Ray was a good guy, but at the same time, he was a killer, but also almost for the right reasons. It was just There's so much complexity to the story.
It's one of the best stories, I think, and not even just for a novel. Just like it's compelling on a movie too, because you're like, this could conceivably happen, where, you know,
Yeah.
Maybe not the same events, but, you know, something. And you're right. Like, nobody in that time, especially where Dave was living, they're not going to therapy. You're a man. You're a fucking.
Right.
You're not. Maybe Sean would have. Like, you know, it happened to the wrong person.
It happened to the wrong person. It happened to a person who's. Yeah. I agree with you.
Because, like, he had no stable life, probably. Like, if it happens to Sean, it still sucks, but you have a dad. You have somebody that maybe have better support. You know, it happens to Jimmy or Dave. Like, you don't.
You don't have a good family to lean on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, also, like, there are some people who grow up in bad neighborhoods who survive it, but that doesn't mean that that's the norm. That's actually not common. So. And also, I do want to add to this book that
You're taking a dip in Mystic River.
That the author does a very good job of adding really good support characters that almost get, like, Jimmy's wife, Annabeth, was, when he told her that he killed Dave, was exactly what you would want somebody like Jimmy to have. You know, she was like, there were good characters. Celeste was a good character. Like, without her being a little bit nervous, it would have been just a different dynamic. His Sean's boss, Whitey.
I mean,
unbelievable.
And it was so cool that he's black.
Yeah. They don't say that. It's so crazy to me how good the characters are, but you didn't get a glimpse of how they were as people. Like, I should say that you didn't get too much unnecessary glimpses of who they are as people. It was exactly.
Yeah, it's like kind of what you needed.
You got exactly what you needed.
And I think that's like, and I still think, like, if you go, okay, Dave's in here, like, it's actually better. Like, what happened to him? Like, was he molested? Probably. Like, was he tortured?
Yeah.
Was he just beat? How did he escape? Did he eat for 3 days? Yeah, like, why did they decide to let him go? It's kind of cool. Like, you just don't know.
His escape is kind of ambiguous. Like, how he got away is, like, he tells you a little bit of the details, but he doesn't.
Oh, he
tell
escaped,
too much.
Right? Or did they let him go? I forgot which one it was. But
no, he escaped. He snuck through some gate when they left to go somewhere. And again, like, this is another one.
Savvy enough to do that. It's pretty good.
His kidnappers, after he escapes, one of them ends up hanging himself in jail, and the other one died in a car accident. And there could have been a whole story on, did they?
Yeah.
I mean, did that guy die? I mean, yeah, maybe the guy that committed suicide because he was in jail, but did the other guy that died in a car accident, did he really die?
I love ambiguity stuff because it makes you really think, like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah.
It's scarier not knowing.
Yes.
It really is. It's like you watch a horror movie, it's much more like Jaws. The fact that you never see him is way scarier than seeing it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, where is it?
Yeah, yeah.
It always is that way.
I'll disagree because I think Jaws is a horrible movie. But
you never saw it.
I did. I saw Jaws. Okay. I saw Jaws.
Probably saw Jaws 4.
No, I saw the original Jaws. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad movie. I'll take that back. I just don't think it's a scary movie.
No, I don't think it's. I think it's more of a. I don't know if it's a horror. It's not a horror movie.
Yeah, I don't think it's a horror movie. But
I think I actually, funny note on Jaws, it was supposed to be. You were supposed to see it. It was supposed to be a mechanical thing, and it wasn't working. So they used the technique of just the fin. And it worked so much better.
Oh, yeah. The mechanics would have probably been such a shitty one.
Yeah, so it makes you like, oh, my God. Thank God it didn't work. But it's more of a, I don't think it's like a horror. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a thriller, I guess.
And that was our review of Jaws. Thank you guys for listening. No.
And we covered Fish.
Fish. I mean, there is a lot more to say about this book, but it's so compact with information.
We'd be going on for hours and hours and hours.
I very curious about how you feel about this book, rating wise. What's your rating on this?
I think it's a 4.
I'm actually going to take the leap, and for what this book is, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5.
Yes.
I just don't have a reason to dislike the book. He could have taken it in routes that would have made me hate it, and he didn't. It's almost like he wrote it knowing that I don't tolerate nonsense.
You don't tolerate bullshit.
His writing style was really, really well done. Maybe if I reread it, I would think that there's like a plot hole here or there. But as I'm reading it, I didn't think that there was anything out of place.
Yeah, I think I might have gave it a five. I just haven't read it in a while, so maybe I have to dig back in.
I will say, if there is one criticism, I don't like the title.
Yeah, you don't like the title.
I don't like the title. If I would have walked by Mystic River, I would have thought that this is. I just don't like the title.
You know what? I don't like.
And it also. It also kind of gave away some of the, like, they talk about passing the Mystic River in passing throughout the book, and I'm like, well, they wouldn't mention it in passing and also have it be the title, you know,
I don't think I hate the title. I don't know what else it could be. I'd have to think about it.
The flats.
Yeah, maybe.
The boy who escaped. Mm.
Just name it Dave.
Dave. Dave, Sean, and Jimmy. That's it.
Dave, Sean, Jimmy. We're going to actually pitch it. Pitching the sequel.
But as I'm going through, like, in the actual book, they tell you, like, all his other books.
So you want to read another one of his.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to read another one of his. I also like that he lives in Boston.
I like he's intimidating.
Yeah, he's very intimidating looking, yeah.
He looks like Jimmy.
He does look like Jimmy.
He looks like a Dave.
Yeah, I didn't know he did Shutter Island. That's the only other name I recognize.
Good movie. Didn't read the book, but good movie.
Didn't watch the movie, but I know it's very, very popular.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
So maybe here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch the movie.
You're going to watch it on Amazon Prime.
I'm going to watch Mystic River.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to try to pick up another book in a few months for his.
You
did a good job. Good job.
Yeah, we'll read another one.
Now I know how to pronounce your name. Dennis Lane.
We're just going to call you a Big D.
Big D. Okay.
They call you Den.
Den. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram at Men's Book Club Pod. We are always looking for suggestions on books to read. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See ya, dopes.